This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Every year, thousands of tenancy disputes in New Zealand are taken to the Tenancy Tribunal, from repairs not being addressed, rent not being paid, or noisy neighbours. With nearly half our population renting, chances are you or someone you know could end up there too.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, nō mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Otipote Dunedin's monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about the final step when residential tenancy rights have been breached. Last month, we discussed the healthy home standards and the steps to resolve any issues there when they're not being met. Applying to the Tenancy Tribunal is the final step in a process, yes, when nothing before that has resolved it. We will explore what the Tenancy Tribunal does, how to apply, how to prepare, and what decisions they can make. And we're also going to talk to you about the Tenancy Services Compliance and Investigations Team. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here in Dunedin, so welcome. Most landlords and tenants are reasonable and things can be resolved informally, but sometimes a tenant or a landlord may need to apply to the Tenancy Tribunal after every other step has been exhausted. We're going to explore this tonight, but first, just a quick summary of your rights and obligations as a tenant or a landlord. So obviously, if you're a tenant, you have certain rights and you also have certain obligations to your landlord, and your landlord has obligations or responsibilities to you as a tenant as well. So when you're renting a property, you need to pay the rent on time, keep the property reasonably clean and tidy, let the landlord know about any damage or repairs straight away, pay for your own bills, for example, electricity, gas, internet, and use the property mainly for residential purposes rather than business activities. Tenants must not stop paying the rent. For example, if, you know, just because a landlord has not done repairs, you can never stop paying rent. It's very important. Tenants must not damage the premises. They must not disturb the neighbours or the landlord's other tenants. They must not make any alterations to the property without the landlord's written consent, and must not use the property for any unlawful purpose, and you must not have more than the maximum number of occupants that are listed on your tenancy agreement. So, and when landlords renting out a property, they need to make sure that the property is in a reasonable condition, let the tenant have quiet enjoyment of the property, meet all the relevant building health and safety standards, handle any abandoned goods in the correct way, inform their tenant if the property is for sale, and they must appoint an agent to act on their behalf if they're going to be out of New Zealand for more than 21 days. Landlords cannot seize the tenant's goods for any reason. They cannot interfere with the supply of any services to the premises unless it is absolutely necessary to avoid danger to a person or to allow for repairs. And both landlords and tenants are responsible for making sure the tenancy agreement is in writing, for keeping their contact details up to date, for not changing any locks without permission. It goes both ways. And they must give the correct amount of notice to end a tenancy, or if you are a landlord, to increase the rent. So we discussed on our last show the steps for resolving an issue with the landlord, which, just again in summary, firstly, talk to your landlord, you know, using friendly tone, while still making the point that the current situation is unacceptable to you, so that you can each clarify your rights and obligations and try to come to an agreement. This usually works. But next, if the issue is still not resolved, you would follow up with a letter confirming the conversation. If nothing happens, contact the landlord again. Keep copies of all letters or notes you send to the landlord or receive from the landlord. Keep a record of your conversation with the landlord. You know, always better to be in writing so there's proof of it. But if you've had verbal conversations, you know, keep a note of the dates, the times, what was said, anyone else that was there that heard it. And this is all just in case, but, you know, it's always good practice to always keep a record of everything. And so after that, the next step is the 14-day notice to remedy, which is a letter warning the landlord that they have 14 days to fix the problem, or the tenant may go to the tenancy tribunal to sort the matter out. So now we're up to the tenancy tribunal, which is the last step. If the breach of the RTA, that's the Residential Tenancy Act, has still not been remedied at that point, you can apply to the tenancy tribunal for a remedy. But also just to note here, remember, as we mentioned in last month's episode, is that mediation with the tenancy services is an option before tribunal. So if you need a refresh on that, go back and listen to last month's episode. So what does the tenancy tribunal do? Well, as we've said, when there's a dispute between a landlord and a tenant, in a residential tenancy, so that means the tenant has to be on the tenancy agreement, that cannot be resolved through informal discussion, mediation, etc., then either party can apply to the tenancy tribunal to help resolve it. They can deal with disputes like overdue payments, reimbursement of bond money that you haven't got back, any breach of the tenancy agreement, and also they can rule on tenancy terminations. They also actually, just FYI, deal with disputes between unit title owners or with body corporates. So at a tenancy tribunal hearing, both parties tell their side of the story and you'll both get a chance to explain your situation at a hearing. So how do you apply? Well, you can do it online or via a printed form. But what you need is as much supporting information as possible, which should include a copy of the tenancy agreement, any documents that you have sent to the other party. You know, that's including emails, any texts, which would be screenshot. Yeah, anything related that will support your argument, such as rent records, like I said, any other correspondence. And also there's an application fee of $28 currently. And what else you need depends on whether you want to apply online or using the printed application form. So to apply online, you will need a desktop or a laptop. You might be able to do the application on your mobile, but it is best to do it on a laptop. You'll just have a better result. So you need a RealMe login to apply online. Now, we have an article on our website about how to get a RealMe login that you can go and have a look at it, www.cab.org.nz. But also in our episode and podcast from the 11th of September last year, which was titled Why Get a RealMe Account and Applying for Citizenship, that discusses about the RealMe, what it is, how to get it. So you could go back and listen to that. You need a working email address so that the tenancy tribunal can respond to your application, and one that's monitored, obviously, that you check all the time. You need to pay the application fee, as I said, using a valid Visa or MasterCard or a bank account with ANZ, ASB, BNZ, Kiwi Bank, TSB or Westpac, because you can do it through internet banking. And you can also just, it's good to know, is that you can use a Prezi card as a credit card, the ones that you can just buy at the supermarket. You need electronic copies. If you're going to do it online, you have to have electronic copies of all your supporting documents, so they need to be scanned. Like I talked about, getting screenshots of texts, emails, they all need to be able to be uploaded. So you have to scan them. If they're paper copies or, yeah, like I said, screenshots, or emails saved as a PDF, etc. If you have lodged a bond, you also need your bond number. So if you're applying online, if applying online isn't possible, you can also apply using a printed form. Just really be sure that you have the latest copy of the form, the latest version. It is not possible to download the form, but you can get printed application forms for free. You can order forms online through the Ministry of MB, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. And you can just select tenancy service and then forms. You can call tenancy services on 0800 836 262 and have the forms posted to you. And sometimes we have forms, they run out every now and then, but you know, we usually should have a form here, the most up-to-date form. So you could pop in and grab one. And you need to actually pay the application fee before you submit your printed application. So you can, again, pay for your paper application, if possible, or cash at any Westpac bank, or you can phone or online bank transfer to MB Dispute Resolution. You know, and you'll have to put in the right references, like your surname and initials and the application reference number that comes from your paper application form. We have an article again on our website, www.cab.org.nz. How do I apply to the Tenancy Tribunal using a printed form? And that has all the information on it about what I've just said, but it also includes the bank account number to pay into and the address to send the printed application form to. But regardless of how you're applying, you should also first have everything written down, like before you even go to fill in the form, because it'll be much easier to fill in the form if you've spent some time thinking about everything that's happened and put everything in a chronological order. You know, what you've done so far, all the conversations that have been had, who said what, who was there, basically all the facts. So you can present them clearly and logically in your application. And just remember to include all the evidence to support your claim. And in a paper copy, that's obviously going to be everything printed out. Quotes and invoices from tradespeople, if you had them, inspection reports, photos, correspondence, receipts, bank statements, etc. So what should you expect when you attend the hearing? Well, who will be there? So firstly, the hearing takes place before what's called an adjudicator. They're like the person whose role it is to hear both sides, and they'll make the final decision. It's like a referee, I guess. And you may be questioned by the adjudicator, and you also might be questioned by the other party. So it's always in your best interests to be at the hearing. If you don't attend, your view will not be heard. People normally represent themselves. Lawyers can only attend in special circumstances. For example, you can bring a lawyer if your dispute is more than $6,000, or the other party agrees, or the tribunal allows it, or the other party has a lawyer representing them. But it wouldn't be normal. Lawyers may also be allowed, depending on the nature and complexity of the issue, or if there are factors that would affect someone's ability to present their case. Some circumstances, someone can appear on your behalf, but if you think you might need a representative, you have to contact Tenancy Services on 0800 836 262 to talk this over before the hearing. Either party can bring in witnesses to speak in support of them, and the hearing is usually open to the public. So both parties tell their side of the story. You can only talk about the issue in the Tenancy Tribunal application. You know, so if you ended up wanting to discuss another issue, you would actually have to make a separate application. So that's really important to note, that point, is that make sure you put in the application every issue that you want addressed. And both sides get to tell their story and answer the questions. When the adjudicator has made a decision, they will write it down as a tribunal order. That's what it's called. And often you will get this decision straight away, but it might be sent out afterwards. So there's a few different decisions that the tribunal can make that, like I said, are called orders. One is orders to pay money, and that is when the tribunal orders that one party pay the other party money, and it can either be for compensation or exemplary damages. So a request for compensation is best used when the tenant has been left with a cost or burden due to the landlord not meeting their obligations, and they can range from material and labour costs to the tenant, or even to psychological and stress-related harm. A tenant could apply for compensation where, say, the landlord's actions in breaching the RTA resulted in a cost to the tenant, like I said, or the tenant has done something like paid for urgent repairs that the landlord should have done. When calculating compensation, would look at the labour costs for time repairing something that the landlord should have done. It's usually awarded at $25 an hour. Material costs for repairing something that the landlord should have repaired. Compensation towards power or medical costs, a result of the landlord not maintaining the property. The value of the tenant's property that has been lost or damaged due to the landlord not maintaining the property. Just a wee quick tip here is that be sure to provide a reasonable amount of detail and breakdown of the costs in the application to ensure that it can proceed. If there's not enough information in that application, then tenancy services will likely request further information before progressing the application. Say, for example, if a tenant carelessly broke a window, the landlord could actually make a claim for compensation to the tribunal to cover the cost of the reglazing. If that order was made and the tenant didn't comply, the landlord could actually make further claims or compensation down the track. So exemplary damages are fines for breaching obligations, and they're intended to act as a deterrent to stop people breaching their obligations. They're not compensation, although they are awarded to the harm party. Claiming exemplary damages should be used when there is a clear instance of an unlawful act. And if you want to go and have a look at all the list of the unlawful acts, there's a list of them on the Schedule 1A of the Residential Tenancy Act. If you need help to find that, give us a ring. But you could just look it up. There'll be a link to it on our website. In deciding whether to award exemplary damages, the tribunal takes into account things like what was the intent of the person that committed the unlawful act? You know, what was the effect of it? And, you know, the interests of the landlord or the tenant against whom the unlawful act was committed. For example, like if a landlord interferes with a tenant's quiet enjoyment of the rental, the landlord is in breach of the Residential Tenancy Act. However, if they continue to do this, even though they know it is wrong, they are committing an unlawful act, right? So in the first instance, it's a breach, but if they continue to do it, they are committing an unlawful act. And if that can be established, the tribunal can award exemplary damages. So another order they can make is to end a tenancy. Landlords and tenants can both apply for a termination order in different circumstances. Some reasons a landlord might apply is if you've not paid your rent, if you've caused or threatened to cause substantial damage, if you have assaulted or threatened to assault the landlord, one of their family, or their landlord's agent or a neighbour, if you've engaged in antisocial behaviour, or if you've completely abandoned the premises. The landlord can also apply for a termination order if someone you have allowed onto the premises has committed assault or acted antisocially. Now, either party can apply if one has breached the tenancy agreement or the Residential Tenancy Act and hasn't remedied the breach. Either tenant or landlord can apply if the premises are unlawful residential premises. You know, so, yeah. And the continuation of the tenancy would cause undue hardship. Are the three reasons that you could apply for a termination order. Work orders is the other thing that they might decide as the recommendation. So a work order is where the tribunal orders for the landlord to fix something on the property. There's often when there's physical or structural problems with the home or something that hasn't been properly maintained. When applying for a work order, the tenant should provide a full list of the issues to be fixed. The tenant does not have to provide the date of discovery or the estimated costs of repairing. For this situation, the tenant needs to have evidence that they have informed the landlord of the problem before making an application. So that's why it's so critical to follow those first steps. So you've got to be able to show that a 14-day notice was given and that the issue has not been fixed. And that's the best evidence of this. Both the landlord and the tenant can issue a 14-day notice to remedy or fix damage. And if the notice is not acted on, the notice can be followed up with an application to the tenancy tribunal for the work order. And the landlord has an obligation to keep the property in a reasonable state of repair. Any order is legally binding and must be followed by both sides. If the order is not followed, then either party can apply to it for it to be enforced through the district court. So the Tenancy Services also has a compliance investigation team who investigate breaches of tenancy law. They focus on breaches that are serious and ongoing. In particular, they target landlords who persistently breach the rules and who own numerous rental properties or unlawful rental residential premises or rent to vulnerable people. In some instances, the team can take a case to a tenancy tribunal on behalf of a tenant. The team uses a number of interventions and enforcement activities to make sure landlords comply with their obligations under the Act. They might look at things like breaches that cause the condition to be significant health or safety risk, to, you know, serious breaches, persistent breaches. There is an online form to contact the compliance and investigations team and a link to further information about the team. It's in an article on our website, which is "My landlord will not fix the problems with the rental property. What can I do?" So if you want to read more about that compliance and investigations team and how to contact them, have a look at that. So remember, we have a number of articles on our website, www.cab.org.nz, relating to the information we've shared with you tonight, such as "What are my responsibilities as a tenant?", "My landlord will not fix the problems," "What can I do?", "What does the tenancy tribunal do?", "What happens at a hearing?" There's also a video in that article about attending a tribunal hearing. So this Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on ORFM 105.4 FM. The episodes are also available on podcast at www.or.org.nz/shows/resettling in Aotearoa. If you've enjoyed the show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show and the podcast with friends and family and workmates. We're here to help you know and understand your rights and the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues, and our help and advice is free. Ngā mihi, kia koe for tuning in this evening. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.